I'm glad you have returned back today for another lesson. In my previous lesson, I kind of gave a review of chapters 13 and 14, and then I turned the page over to chapter 15. You remember yesterday I talked about Abraham's big day when kings from two different cities came to visit him. The king from Sin City, Sodom, and the king of the city of peace, Salem. Have you ever wondered why that both of these kings came out to meet him? It must have been because he did something special. He did something unique. He did something that no one else that they knew could have done. The work that Abraham did was much like the work that Christ did. Abraham was one of the first recorded kinsman redeemer, and Abraham's only motivating force was love. He did not do it to get recognition from the king. He didn't do it for monetary gain. He didn't do it so that people would pat him on the back. The only motivating force in Abraham's actions was love. And I would say to you, let all of your activities be motivated by love, not self-interest, not for personal gain, not to be a show, but to be from the heart. Let me also say this to those who would have a desire to get into the ministry. If it's for any other reason than love, don't do it. If you want to get into the ministry for recognition, don't do it. If you want to get into the ministry to get rich, don't do it. This book that I preach and teach is not a get-rich book. It's not a self-help book to me. In fact, when I read this book, I find out if I'm going to get, I've got to give. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. When I read this book, it lets me know that my help comes from the Lord. This is not a self-help book as some would see it. This book lets you know where your help comes from. Your help cometh from the Lord. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. If the Lord builds not the city, or the house, or the church, those that build in vain. So before I leave this first verse in chapter 15, what do we learn from this verse? We learn the exceeding riches of divine grace. We learn the fullness of divine salvation. We also realize the height of divine privilege that's accorded to those that believe in God. And now, in verse 2, Abraham said to the Lord, what will you give me, seeing that I am childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? To me you have given no seed, and one born in my house is mine heir. And the Lord told Abraham, this Eliezer shall not be your heir, but one that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And then God brought him out and told him to look towards the heaven and tell the stars, if you be able to number them. And God told him, so shall your seed be. And the Bible says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham did not just believe what he said. Abraham believed in him. Unless you believe in something, you're not going to believe what he said. Abraham didn't challenge this. He just believed in God. Therefore, he believed everything he said. And the Bible says it was counted to him for righteousness. What is meant by counting or imputation? What is the connection between belief and righteousness? It's quoted three times in the New Testament as an example of the action of faith in the spiritual life. Imputation of righteousness must not be explained away. Paul referred to it as an instant of justification by faith and connecting it with the reward, and this again with forgiveness and acceptance. Notice again that Abram believed not merely the particular promise, but in the Lord. The workings of faith is simply a belief in what God has said, because he is true, casting all care upon him. Faith is the channel, not the source of justification. It was by the look of faith that the dying Israelites lived, but the healing came from God. God offers salvation because he loves us even while in our sins. What hinders that love from being effectual is unbelief. The strength of Abraham's faith was looking to the divine character. I am the Lord. And looking back to the divine grace that brought you up out of the Chaldeans. And looking out to the divine promise, I will give you this land to inherit. Abraham asked the Lord, how shall I know that I'm going to inherit this land? The Lord told Abraham, take an heifer, a she-goat, and a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And the Bible says that Abraham took these, divided them, and laid each piece against another. Apparently, Abraham was standing right near the altar where he always worshiped God. Abraham was going to worship God with a sacrificial offering. And the Bible says, when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Even while Abraham was trying to worship, there was a hindrance, there was an intrusion, there was something there to disturb his worshiping of God. These fowls of the air could be emblematic of the prince of powers of the air that would hinder us when we would attempt to worship God. It could represent the many disturbances and distractions, the vain thoughts that sweep through our minds. How did Abraham deal with these? By watchfulness, by opposition, by perseverance. Abraham was determined to worship God. I think that we ought to be just that determined. Don't let anything disturb our worship with God. Chase it away. Get rid of it. Resist it. And God will greatly reward us.